AmericansForTheArts.org.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loride. Coming up, we're going to talk about the elections and open up the phone lines. We're also going to talk about Social Security and how it fits into this election. We'll hear from one of the major leaders of a group that is trying to protect Social Security and Medicare in just a moment. But first, two listener comments about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we got into a discussion with a Vietnam veteran who said that Bernie Sanders should not be president because he never served in the military, and he was a conscientious objector during the Vietnam War. After that exchange, we got these two comments from listeners.
My name is James Osten. I live in Temple Terrace. In 1970, I was at USF, and I had to write a paper. I chose to write it on the Vietnam War. And in my research, I found out that Ho Chi Minh had come to Washington and spoke with Roosevelt about getting the French out of Vietnam. He asked for our help first. Roosevelt refused because the French were our allies. That's when Ho Chi Minh went to China. He did not care who helped. He would have preferred a democracy, but he just wanted the French out of Vietnam. This is documented. It was in 1970 when I read these papers. I'd urge anyone that wants to look up Roosevelt and Ho Chi Minh. They'll probably find out.
Pete, I was just listening to the show today, and I was listening to your conversation with the fellow from Vietnam. I salute all the Vietnam veterans. If the war didn't end, I would have been on my way there. I disagreed with the war, but I still had to go because that's what the law was. You were drafted. Obviously, people that went to Canada were pardoned by Jimmy Carter later, and that's a debatable issue. Now, but if you look at the history of American warfare, America has lost almost every war that it's been involved in. People don't realize the defeat in Vietnam, the defeat in Korea. And World War II, yes, we had to fight with a coalition of all nations of the world. It took like 30 nations to defeat Nazi Germany. I've always said this about Vietnam. LBJ said would be on Mount Rushmore for everything that he did domestically during his presidency. Obviously, the war, it was a terrible war. But the Iraq War was a loss. And people that make money off war are the bankers. The bankers were supporting both sides of World War One. And the Bush family, Prescott Bush, was financing a lot of the Nazi hierarchy in the infamous Union Bank, which was closed down by the Roosevelt administration. So we're probably 3-6 in wars. Bill Murray got it wrong in Stripes. So war is like the song says, it's good for nothing. And rich men get richer. Rich men start them, poor men fight them.
Well, there you have a couple of listener comments after yesterday's program. The National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare took the unusual step this week of endorsing Andrew Gillum for governor here in the state of Florida. And we're going to talk with Max Richmond, who is the president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare right now. Max, welcome back to WMNF. Good to have you here.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me.
So you endorsed Andrew Gillum. Why? Why is it? Why? First of all, it's unusual that you endorse a candidate in a race, right?
It's not unusual that we endorse a candidate. It's unusual that we endorse a candidate in a governor's race, and it's happened. It's not unprecedented, but it is unusual. And in the case of Mayor Gillum. The issue that brought us into the campaign was Medicaid expansion. And by way of background, I guess now 5 years ago, when there was a race for governor in the state of Virginia, we endorsed Terry McAuliffe. And it was because of his strong commitment to expand the Medicaid program under the Affordable Care Act. And we did a number of endorsement events with him. I did. And it's a similar situation. I think it's this may be the second, possibly the third time we have gotten involved in a governor's race, and it's because of that issue.
We've got a bad phone line, so I may have to call you back. But let me ask you, Max, why is expansion of Medicaid important to you as head of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare?
Well, the Medicaid program is very important. I know it's not in our name, but it's very important to our constituency, and that's older folks. So many of them will find themselves or a relative at some point in a nursing home. 62% of nursing home costs are covered by the Medicaid program. And it's, you know, Medicaid is, there's a lot of misunderstanding about Medicaid. It's not a program necessarily for poor people. It's a program, in the case of nursing home recipients, for people who were not poor, but they became poor because of the exorbitant cost of nursing home care, you know, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 or more a year. And very few people can do that for any extended period of time without losing their assets and relying on the Medicaid program. So it's a really important program for that reason. In addition, Medicaid expansion for those people who are under the age of 65 and therefore don't qualify for Medicare means that if an individual has health care issues, they can avail themselves of health care under the Medicaid program, and if they do reach Medicare eligibility, they'll be healthier. It will save money for the Medicare program. That's another reason that we think the Medicaid expansion is important to near seniors and to seniors, and those are the people that we represent in our organization.
Because a lot of people who work for a living these days, even if you're in your 50s or early 60s, a lot of people are working at jobs where the employer doesn't really want to provide health care. People are working minimum wage jobs or working at big box stores, and health care is many times not part of the employment package.
Yeah, exactly. And Medicaid is there in many cases for people under the circumstances you just described. It's not only for people who are in a situation of being destitute. It's for people who are in jobs that don't have the health care benefits available that you just talked about.
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, so it turns out that a lot of us, if we live long enough, we're going to go through all of our financial resources, and if we're in a nursing home, the only way we'll be able to pay for that nursing home is to be on Medicaid, because we'll have blown through all our savings at the end of our life.
All right, it won't take very long. Yeah. I mean, even if you've been very frugal, I've seen and visited nursing homes that cost above $100,000 a year. You know, that's very difficult for someone to have private resources to pay for that. And that's where the Medicaid program steps in.
Max, I want to play you a soundbite and just ask one or two more questions. Max Richman is our guest. He is the chairman of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. He's based in Washington, D.C. I want to play something that Senator Mitch McConnell said the other day on Bloomberg about the future of Social Security and Medicare. And this is Senator Mitch McConnell just 2 weeks ago.
I have to ask you about the national debt, $21 trillion, the deficit, $779 billion. Some predicting that could reach a trillion in 2019. What's going on with the debt?
It's very disturbing, and it's driven by the three big entitlement programs that are very popular, Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid. That's 70% of what we spend every year. The subject we were just discussing, the funding of the government, is about 30% of what we spend. There's been a bipartisan reluctance to tackle entitlement changes because of the popularity of those programs. Hopefully, at some point here, we'll get serious about this. We haven't been yet.
And it would appear, if you kind of look at the tea leaves, that divided government might actually yield to entitlement reform or at least make it easier.
Well, we had that opportunity during the Obama years, and I talked to President Obama about it a number of times. It would have been the perfect time to do it. Think of Reagan and Tip O'Neill coming together in the early 80s to raise the age for Social Security. It took it out of the political arena and made it possible for it to be successful. That's what we had the chance to do during the Obama years, because we had divided government for six of his 8 years. Unfortunately, it was not achieved.
That was Mitch McConnell, the majority leader in the U.S. Senate, just saying a few days ago on Bloomberg News that the vast net national deficit, the national debt that we have, the federal government deficit, is being driven by Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Max, what would you say back to Senator McConnell?
Well, what I'd say to Senator McConnell is, where was your voice when you pushed through a $2 trillion tax cut that benefited mainly the wealthy people and wealthy corporations in America? He was mute at that point, as were almost all Republicans that voted for that bill. So, you know, so many Republicans for years, including the Senate Majority Leader, have been railing about the federal debt. And then what do they do last year? Pass an enormous tax cut that adds, doesn't address, but adds $2 trillion to the federal debt. Not a mention about how that was going to be paid for. And I'll tell you, Rob, we were waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it has, specifically with the majority leader's comments to Bloomberg, that now all of a sudden it's dawned on them that they've increased the deficit by the debt by $2 trillion. And by God, we've got to do something about it, and let's go to seniors programs to get some of that some of that debt paid off. It is such a hypocrisy to now, when the dust has settled on the tax bill, start talking about seniors programs as drivers of the debt. $2 trillion was added by the tax cut, not by Social Security, not by Medicare, not by Medicaid.
All right. So if the federal deficit has skyrocketed since the tax cut, is Senator McConnell being honest when he says that Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid are driving most of that, the cost of that? You said it was because of the tax cuts, but does Social Security contribute anything to the national debt?
Well, that's just another instance of misleading information. Not only is he trying to shift the focus from what the tax cut did to the federal debt, you don't see very many campaigners on the campaign trail here in the last few months talk about that. But Social Security does not add a penny to the debt. Social Security is completely self-funded. It's funded by payroll taxes. Everybody that earns a wage has withholding and pays into Social Security with every paycheck. There is a surplus of almost $3 trillion in the Social Security program, a surplus, not a debt. And this money is real money. The surplus is invested in government bonds. They're rolled over regularly. Interest is paid on those bonds. It's not a lot of interest, but it's a investment that is not subject to the kind of risk we see in the stock market, especially in the last few weeks. So it's a red herring. Social Security is self-funded, and I might say Medicare Part A, that is also paid for by the payroll tax, is self-funded. Now, there are issues with these programs and their long-term solvency beyond 2034 with Social Security. And, you know, we're a group that realizes that, and some things have to be looked at. But cutting benefits, cutting Social Security, whether it's to address the deficit or to fix the program is absolutely the wrong choice.
Max, one more question. That is, as you know, we've got a really hot and heavy U.S. Senate race here in Florida. On the Republican side, the Republicans are running ads saying that our Democratic Senator Bill Nelson cut Medicare by $700 million. On the Democratic side, the Democrats are saying that our current Governor Rick Scott, the Republican who wants to be in that Senate seat, that he ripped off Medicare to the tune of about $1.5 billion. Did Senator Nelson cut Medicare, and did Rick Scott rip off Medicare?
Well, I don't know the facts of the governor's history with the Medicare program. I'm vaguely aware of some lawsuits and some settlements dealing with Medicare fraud that has something to do with the governor, but I don't know the specifics, so I'm reluctant to comment on that. As for Senator Bill Nelson, there isn't a better friend of seniors in the U.S. Senate or anybody that has a better record on votes involving Social Security and Medicare. What you just referred to is another big lie. It was successfully used in past campaigns. When the Affordable Care Act passed, there was about over $700 billion saved, not cut, but saved out of the Medicare program. And where did that money come from? It came from reimbursement rates to providers. It did not come out of beneficiaries' pockets. It did not come by way of increased out-of-pocket costs, whether it's deductibles or copays or anything for Medicare beneficiaries. The savings were accrued by reducing reimbursement rates, and those savings were used. They were used for the Medicare program, and that's because by design, those savings were plowed back into the Medicare program. And for the first time ever under Medicare, Medicare provides a wide variety of preventative treatments, colonoscopies, mammograms, diabetes screening, an annual wellness visit with a doctor. The life of the Medicare Trust Fund was extended by 12 years. The donut hole, the out-of-pocket cost for prescription drugs under Medicare, was almost closed entirely and will be closed in another year. That's what that money was used for. So it did not come out of beneficiaries' pockets, and it was used to improve the Medicare program. So whatever those ads are saying in Florida about Senator Nelson and Medicare, a lie is the best word to describe them.
Max Richmond, thanks for coming back on WMNF. And I guess people can look up more information about preserving Social Security and Medicare at your website at ncpssm.org, right?
That's correct. And we also have, by the way, have an 800 number. It's 1-800-966-1935. Easy to remember, the year Social Security became law. 1-800-966-1935.
Max Richmond, thanks a lot for coming on WMNF.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Max. Take care. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. And I'm going to open up the phone lines right now and ask you a couple of questions. One is, who are you going to vote for in this election on Tuesday, and why? Is there a candidate that you're looking forward to voting for? Could be a candidate that's running for governor or U.S. Senate. Could be a candidate running for state house or Florida Senate. It could be a candidate running for your county commission. Maybe there's somebody else on the ballot you'd like to talk about. Also, are you excited about the amendments? I mean, is there an amendment that you think deserves support? And can you make the case for us? What amendment that's on the ballot in your county or on the statewide ballot do you support? Here's the phone number, 813-239-9663. And you can also send your email into us at dj@wmnf.org. Turnout for this race seems to be pretty big. So far, about 4 million people have voted during the last midterm election. I believe the amount was about 6 million people voted after the Tuesday of the last midterm election. So it looks like we may be on our way to a record number of voters in this midterm election. Some people say it's the most important election in recent memory. So who's your favorite candidate on the ballot? One of the big issues, healthcare is the number one issue that Floridians say they care the most about this election. Number two or three on most surveys is immigration. The president has hit on the immigration issue over the last few days and has been talking about this caravan that's about 900 miles south of the U.S. border. It's going to take maybe a month and a half, 2 months for that caravan, if it stays together, to make it to the Texas border. The president is sending military troops to the border and has said some things that we may also want to talk about. I'm going to play three news reports from the Associated Press. But I just wondered what you think about this issue, sending U.S. troops to the border to prepare for that caravan that's coming up from Mexico. What do you think? Here's three reports on it from the Associated Press.
Using strong, fear-based language, President Trump is heaping the blame on Democrats, like Missouri's Claire McCaskill, for immigration policies that he says encourage criminals from other countries to breach the U.S. border.
If you don't want America to be overrun by masses of illegal aliens and giant caravans, you better vote Republican.
That was the message last night in Columbia, Missouri, where he rallied for GOP Senate challenger Josh Hawley.
This election is a choice between Republican results and radical resistance.
President Trump has two campaign rallies later today, West Virginia and Indianapolis, while Democratic candidates are getting support from the Obama-Biden team. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Omar Jadwat, who directs the Immigrants' Rights Project at the American Civil Liberties Union, says there's a word for the plan to send 5,000 troops to the southwestern border, and it's not emergency, it's a stunt.
It's distressing and unfortunate to see our military being used as a campaign prop.
Jadwat says there's no reason to believe that even if several thousand Central American migrants were walking toward the U.S. border, that the Border Patrol, its numbers augmented by 2,000 National Guard troops, could not process them. He says the ACLU will be watching closely to make sure troops obey the law, which prohibits them from performing police functions. Warren Levinson, New York.
For days, the president said one of the migrant caravans slowly moving toward the border is full of strong young men who assaulted Mexican soldiers by throwing rocks. He says that won't stand here.
Our military fights back.
And if troops see anybody throwing a rock,
consider it a rifle.
The exact rules of engagement for troops at the border have not been disclosed. But while all American forces do have the right of self-defense, retired three-star General Mark Hertling, who commanded combat forces in Iraq, tweeted, no military officer would allow a soldier to shoot an individual throwing a rock, saying it would be an unlawful order. U.S. immigration law says it doesn't matter where migrants cross. They can claim asylum, whether it's a legal crossing point or an illegal one. The president says the law has been abused by migrants making unjustified asylum claims, and he'll order they can only seek asylum at official ports of entry. He also says migrants trying to cross illegally will be caught and kept in tent cities, which is another legally dubious claim. Sagar Magani, Washington.
So let's add that to the mix. Is the president right to send the military to the U.S. border with Texas? And is that a good use of our military? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. We do already have a Border Patrol there. Is the Border Patrol inadequate in the face of this caravan that's going to take a few more weeks to come up here? Or is the president trying to stir things up and trying to make people upset just ahead of the election? What do you think? 813-239-9663. And you can send your email into the studio here, dj@wmnf.org. Also asking, who are you looking forward to voting for on Tuesday? And is there an amendment on the ballot that you're looking forward to voting for? 813-239-9663. Adam writes this, and I think he lives in Hillsborough County. He says, I want to encourage everyone to vote yes on the transportation proposal. We need the money to be able to make improvements. And when you're voting for Senate, remember that Rick Scott turned down $2 billion for high-speed rail between Tampa and Orlando. We could be riding it right now if he hadn't. Vote for Nelson and for Andrew Gillum, writes Adam. Let's go to Tony in Seminole. And Frank Knox is our phone producer, by the way. Tony, you're on first. You want to talk about candidates, amendments, or sending the military to the border?
I want to just quickly touch on all three. Rob, good morning. First of all, for the candidate, I'm going to vote for Gillum, and I'm going to vote for Bill Nelson, because with Gillum, I think that he will move Florida in a whole different direction than it has been moving, and I think it will be better for everyone in the state except instead of a few. And as far as Bill Nelson goes, I would never vote for Rick Scott for anything, because I think he is the biggest crook that is out there as far as how he has treated Medicare or Medicaid, and also just Florida in general. As far as the amendments go, I want everybody to vote yes on the Voting Rights Amendment, referring to the people who have been incarcerated. I think if they've done their time and they do their whatever probation period afterwards, that they deserve the right to vote. And I think that Governor Scott and his administration has been completely wrong about that. And I think the last thing is the border. Having been in the military, I think it's just a waste of trained professionals' time. And I think it's a waste of money to send them to the border, because I think it's really nothing but a political prop being used by President Trump and the Republicans. And that's about all I got, Rob.
All right, Tony, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So Tony being very clear on what he thinks is best in this election. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. 352 writes, that's the president's job, to protect our borders. These criminals are already attacking Mexican police and getting killed over it. So all the hand-wringing about widows and orphans, like Obama likes to say, doesn't mean anything. 352 anonymously writes, they're criminals. Well, do you agree that the people in this caravan are criminals? What do you think? Is there any truth to that? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Elizabeth in Riverview. Hi, Elizabeth. Tell us, are you looking forward to voting for anybody on Tuesday?
I already voted by mail. Yes, I most certainly did vote for Bill Nelson. He is what my mother would call a good man. And that was good enough for me. Yes, I like what the gentleman has been doing these many years. He's nice and quiet about it. He doesn't stand up and beat his own drum or anything. He just does. And with regard to the caravan, is that what it's now called, the refugees?
Yeah, some people call it a caravan. The Fox News calls it invaders.
Whatever. Yeah. To me, they are refugees. They are folks who have left their homes because their homes were not happy. They were miserable for whatever reason. And I still have the question in my mind, will they ever be fired upon by our military? That was talked about just briefly on your program here now, and I certainly hope that it is true that they would not be fired upon unless they have guns and are firing at us, which I can't imagine.
Yeah, there's no evidence that they have guns.
That to me, they I don't know. Maybe I'm just imagining.
Do you think the president is trying to stir things up and get people angry and get people to have like an irrational hatred of refugees?
Yes, of course he is. Why? I don't know. Haven't we always been the open door to the world? It may not always have been in our best interest, but we take people in who are in dire straits for one reason or another. My God, all of our relatives came from somewhere, all of our ancestors. If we're not American Indian. We are not native.
Yeah, my ancestors left Europe escaping a government that they didn't like.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they thought the government was repressive, so that they left.
So did mine.
Yeah. All right, Elizabeth. You were going to say, I'm sorry.
No. I was just agreeing with you. You are quite right. That's why they left Europe.
All right, Elizabeth, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663 is the phone number to call. Bill writes this regarding the amendments. He's going to vote for voting rights restored and dogs gone, writes Bill. Bill, thank you for that. Kevin writes this, my favorite candidate is Andrew Gillum for governor. He represents the greatest potential for positive change versus his primary opponent. That's Kevin in St. Petersburg. We haven't heard from any Republicans except the one person who said that the people in the caravan are criminals. I assume that's a Republican message. I don't know. But if you're a Republican, we'd like to have you call in. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Tina in Tampa. Hi, Tina. What about the elections and what about troops to the border?
Well, I voted for Andrew Gillum, and I wanted to say something about the debate, the most recent one. Ron DeSantis said that Florida was a low-tax state, and, quote, let's keep it that way. That is so not true. Some of the fees and taxes in Florida are among the highest in the nation. We do not have an income tax, that's true, but working people in this state get hit with huge fees. I mean, look at your fees that you pay as taxes on your electric bill, on your utility bill, on your cable bill, closing costs, another area where we are among the highest in getting hit in fees, the documentary stamp tax when people close on a house. We are among the highest in the nation. I mean, a couple of years ago, I was looking into refinancing, and the man from Texas with my current mortgage company said, I apologize to you, but, you know, this is these documentary stamp taxes in Florida. They are so high that at that point it was the highest in the country. Now, so that's not true. And the thing about this type of fees that are put on electric bills and utility bills, they are regressive taxes. So unlike property taxes, for example, you know, the bigger house you have, the more property taxes you would pay. They're unfair taxes, regressive taxes. The only true, you know, progressive tax is an income tax, which probably will never get passed in Florida unless, you know, you get the right people in all three, you know, governor and, you know, the Senate and the House. But I think that to say that about the taxes, kind of like trying to portray Andrew Gillum as some, you know, depraved socialist, which he is not. I think that Andrew Gillum has some well thought out plans to generate some more money toward education. Hardly anything, you know, over the deep end. So I hope people will, you know, look into that and think about that because. You know, Ron DeSantis, like President Trump and the attacks on the immigrants, it's all political. I mean, it's not based in fact or truth, and it's all just to get people stirred up. It's a shame that we have people like this leading our country, but, you know, but they are.
All right.
So I hope that there'll be a change, and thank you much.
All right, Tina, thanks a lot. Thanks. 813-239-9663. Here's an email from Chris regarding the caravan. He says, keep the invaders out. Thank you, Trump. Do you view the caravan as invaders? What do you think? 813-239-9663. We're going to go to Kevin, who's in Bradenton. Hi, Kevin. You're on WMNF, talking about who people are looking forward to voting for and also what you think about the caravan that's moving to through Mexico and should the military, U.S. military, be on the border?
I don't know where to begin, but no, I don't consider them an invading force, and no, I don't think it's a good use of our tax dollars to have 15,000 troops stationed down there. And I don't think that Trump using the Kent State playbook about it's okay to shoot somebody if they throw a rock is okay either, even though, you know, we're hopeful that that doesn't happen. But I think Tina just made a really interesting point. I want to bring up that the reason I voted for Gillum and the Democrats you know, like she said, Florida is considered a low-tax state, but in a lot of ways it's really not. And I've lived in other places and can tell you that the insurance on homes and even on cars is much higher here than it was when I was living in out west in Colorado. So, you know, but for Gillum, one good reason I can see voting for him is because of that. So if he does get a chance to legalize weed, the amount of tourism dollars that comes in and would be spent on that, the taxes from that wouldn't even be coming from us. And that's such a good amount of money. And the other thing is gambling. That Amendment 3 is a complete joke. And the ads that were saying how give the control to the people, it is the opposite of that. I have looked into that one, and that is the biggest lie. And the only reason I'm bringing it up is because if we had legal gambling, true legal gambling, not the lottery and the casino, we could be getting money from that too. So, yeah, I'm you know, voted Democrat straight down the line. And one other thing I want to bring up, when Trump was saying that the Republicans are about results, and the Democrats are about resistance, he's right. I'm going to agree with him. And the number one result is dividing the country. And I think that nobody has done it better than Donald Trump. He has actually done the greatest job of division, which could help them conquer, but I'm hoping not. And then just this whole thing about pre-existing conditions, they may want to protect them, but the only reason they're going to protect them is because they're going to make them so sky high that most people won't be able to afford them. And then that is something that we should be afraid of, not the invading.
All right.
On the southern.
Kevin, thanks a lot. Thank you for your call.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you. All right. Okay. So Kevin laid out his ideas very clearly. What do you think? You can call us up. You can email us. Noah writes this. So the same people who scream for due process during the Kavanaugh hearings now expect us to believe that these people who are on the caravan, we don't even know who they are, that they're criminals. Police, writes Noah. Noah says that the caravan deserves due process. All right, Noah, thank you for that. And 813 anonymously writes, it is a sleight of hand on the one hand to look at immigrants, while the other hand is slashing Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Please vote Democrat. They're not slashing Social Security and Medicare yet, but that is what Mitch McConnell has said he would do in order to balance the federal budget deficit. All right. We got an open line. If you want to hear your voice on the air, maybe you want to disagree with something you've heard here, you can call us up right now and get through right away. 813-239-9663. Barbara writes this. She's definitely voting for Bill Nelson, who quietly does his job and works for the good of the people. And I'm voting for Gillum because he's progressive. I'm pretty much a Democrat, writes Barbara. Barbara, thank you for your email. If you're a Republican, you're welcome. If you're an independent, you're welcome too. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Danny in Tampa. Danny, what's on your mind about the elections and about militarizing the border?
Good morning, Rob. I believe it was about 4 or 5 weeks ago, or maybe even 6 weeks ago, that I had told you that if Donald Trump would have been president back in the 60s and 70s during the Vietnam War, that I believe he would have opened up on the protesters, ordered the National Guard, whoever, to shoot them, just like at Kent State. I'm glad that last caller brought up Kent State. That's the first thing I thought about yesterday when he said about rocks and consider that a firearm. Second, I was talking to Frank earlier, producer, and Frank's been in the military. He seems to think that's illegal to go ahead. You're not, you know, there's a written rule or law there that the military is not supposed to fire on civilians.
Yeah, and that was reported by the AP in those reports I just played, yes.
That's right, that's right. You know, and I'll tell you what, yeah, I think that this guy here, he's, like I said, he's just trying to gin up his base and everything, and yeah, I think that he's just, like I said, he'd be like Tony Schwartz said last night, he's going to be more emboldened, God forbid, that we don't get the House, that he's going to be more and more emboldened. And you know, Donald Trump is also, that last caller brought up pot. He's against pot legalization and everything because, you know, and if anybody would need to be stoned would be Donald Trump. But in a way, that would, with his head, it would probably bring out his outer consciousness instead of his inner consciousness, and it might be a mistake for him to even try it because he might go ahead and push the button even faster.
You're talking about stoned, smoking marijuana stoned.
Yes, okay. Yes. If anybody would need it to get a, you know, like a, he's got a bad head. Back in the 60s, we used to call people that were like for the war, all the counterculture, all my friends, other people around the country, we'd call people who was for the war, and they, you know, that they were right wing back then. We used to say, man, that guy's got a bad head.
All right.
Donald Trump.
All right.
He's had a bad head for years. And, so I don't know what the problem. The answer is to go ahead and vote and see if we can get the House and at least cut into some of his power and hopefully the Senate.
All right, Danny. Thanks.
Thanks for joining
the conversation. Here's Brad in Tampa Heights. He says regarding transportation, we could really improve transportation if people would simply hang up and drive, put down the phones and pay attention, quit riding and start driving. No new tax is needed, writes Brad. Brad's in Hillsborough County, where there's a proposal to raise the sales tax locally by a penny. Thank you, Brad, for that. If you're in Sarasota or Manatee or Hardy or Polk or Pasco or Pinellas County and you've got an issue that you want to talk about, call us up. Rick writes this, sending troops to the border is silly theater, and it's really an insult to our great military. Rick goes on to say, and there are Republicans who know this is theater, just like they know that there is a man-made climate change and their health care is in serious jeopardy. So it's not changing any votes and can only succeed in perhaps motivating someone to get out and vote. The obvious racism is disgusting and unfortunately an effective motivator for so many Americans, writes Rick. We're going to go to Bob, who's in Lakeland. Hey, Bob, you're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, the way I understand it, we've already got 20,000 border guards down there on that border.
Yeah, we have a pretty extensive border patrol operation.
Well, it's
yeah.
a 2,000-mile border. If you do the math, that's one border guard for every tenth of a mile. That's a city block. They don't even need a radio. They can just go, hey, Bill, see any Mexicans? He goes, no, not yet, Jim. You know, it's silliness.
Well, and
it's like
Bob, we're stationing the troops there 2 months. 2 months before this caravan arrives, what's your estimate on cost? As a military veteran, how costly is it going to be to house, feed?
15,000 people. That's a brigade. I mean, you're talking millions of dollars. It reminds me. Remember when we sent 5,000 troops down to Grenada to handily, defeat 200 Cuban construction workers? I mean, come on.
Well, and Bob, you know, they're still having hurricane recovery problems in the panhandle. People are homeless in the panhandle.
I know.
They don't have electricity. They don't have gasoline. We still have hurricane recovery problems in Puerto Rico. People are still living in homes with tarps.
If you wanted to do something with our tax money, why don't you send the National Guard to the panhandle and have them clean up some of that crap? I mean, this is such a blatant waste of it. It is. It's just like everybody else has said. This is total theater, and it's a total waste of our military. What are we going to do, shoot these people? That's insane.
All right, Bob, thanks a lot.
Okay, remember, you can just yell next door and see if they're coming. I mean, okay. We got so many people down there now. I'm coming unglued. Anyway,
all right.
See you later, buddy.
Bob, thanks a lot. Thanks, Bob in Lakeland. There he goes. 813-239-9663. Barry writes this. I voted early for Team Blue. I was especially proud to vote for Senator Nelson. 40 years of public service without any hint of impropriety. Elizabeth nailed it. He's a good man. Mayor Gillum is visionary for moving our state in a better direction in healthcare and education. I'm excited that Mariella Smith and Kimberly Overman could join Pat Kemp to move the county commission toward better growth management policies and transportation solutions. I strongly support Amendment 4, voting rights to end a shameful vestige of Jim Crow, and I also support Amendments 9 and 11. Most of the amendments are garbage at best, dangerous at worst, especially number 6. Though I hate sales taxes, I'm voting for transportation and schools, the referendums in Hillsborough County. These are quality of life issues, and that's Barry's email from Tampa. All right, thanks. Here's Chris in Fort Myers. Chris says, when conservative Chris writes in and you read his email on the air, could you state where he's from or his last initial? He gives people with the name Chris a bad name. That's Chris in Fort Myers, who says, vote Gillum. You know, sometimes when people write in, they don't give us their whole name. It's okay. A lot of people writing in anonymously, I'm not a big fan of that. At least you should give us your first name. But all right, Chris, I read your email on the air. Thanks for listening in Fort Myers. And we're going to go to, it's all men on the panel. We will go to the men, but boy, if we could hear from some women, that would really be nice. Let's go to Andy in Dunedin. Hey, Andy, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Yeah, we, me and my wife voted by mail. Like the last caller said, Team Blue. Yeah, some of these anonymous, people sending in emails, I think they're just, not wanting to debate the issue. They just throw their, two cents worth in and run away. But, yeah, the only problem I'm having with these amendments, we, voted yes on four, of course, and no on everything else, because a lot of people are just seeing what's on the surface, like with the Kelsey Grammer commercial. I mean, it all sounds good, and, you know, you want to side with them on that, but they put in all these attachments that they don't realize.
Well, you know, the question I had about the Kelsey Grammer commercial, which is running a lot, is where did this happen? Did Kelsey grow up in Florida? Was his dad and was his sister, were they killed in Florida? I know that we now have a victim's rights. Their victims do have rights, especially in sentencing hearings in Florida. But I was confused by the ad because I don't know where Kelsey grew up.
I want to say it was up in the up in Michigan or somewhere. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. But the thing is, we already have those rights. But the thing is, Rick Scott and his friends took a lot of extra time to shove in all these, you know, little extras into these amendments. So on the surface, it sounds good. Like, we have a gentleman in Dunedin that does a lot of dog rescue, which is great. And he sent out a thing, please vote for this, for the Greyhound thing. But I'm like, I would love to, but I don't like the things that are attached to it. You know, these aren't single-issue amendments. They've got all kind of, you know, things that they want to stick in there to help help their people out and everything, but I can't go there. It's got to be a single amendment to make any sense. Otherwise, I mean, it's very confusing, and I did catch a commercial last night from the Republican side. I mean, it was a big vote Republican with all kind of scary faces and scary, you know, people coming to get you, boogeyman type of stuff, so it's kind of disgusting. I'm just looking forward to next Wednesday.
All right, Andy, thanks a lot. Thanks.
Rob.
All right, thanks. I saw that ad, too. I thought it was a Halloween ad, but it was a real political ad. Deanna writes this, we in House District 64 have a true independent candidate in Andy Warriner. Our district is 28% independents and wholly supports the environment. Andy believes in supporting Amendment 1, you know, the one that the voters supported by more than 70% to preserve environmental lands in Florida, yet our current legislature has not fully funded it as mandated. And Andy Warriner supports renewable energy. We are the Sunshine State, for goodness sake, writes Deanna. Deanna, thank you for that. Mark writes this, true fact about taxes. Moving from inner city Chicago, 5 minutes from the Gold Coast, our auto insurance was almost four times more expensive upon arriving in Tampa. And Mark goes on to write, he's going to vote for Gillum, Nelson, four yes, dog racing no. And he says, these are not invaders. They're just desperate people, writes Mark. And Amin writes, I voted for everything that has the letter D next to it just because I want the Republicans to know that they're all Trump puppets. The only way I'll support the troops on the borders is if we shut down all the 900 military bases worldwide and bring all our soldiers home, writes Amin. Amin, thank you for that. Let's go back to the phones. We're going to go to David in Tampa. Hey, David, you're on. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hi,
David, you're on.
Hi. I was wondering if President Obama is visiting Florida to help.
Yeah, he's in Miami today.
Oh, he's in Miami today. Okay, yeah. Cool. I just hadn't heard anything about that yet. That's great, though. I was hoping that he would come at some point. And I was wondering, too, if anything, supposedly Jack Berkman was going to make the announcement about Mueller
They had a press conference yesterday. This is about whether or not Mueller, the special counsel, committed sexual harassment. And they had a press conference yesterday. And I'll just read just a little bit. Yesterday in Virginia, a press conference intended to publicize sexual assault claims against Special Counsel Mueller collapsed in spectacular fashion after the pro-Trump operatives behind the event failed to demonstrate a grasp of even basic details about their accuser or explain why they had repeatedly lied about their project. The accuser never showed up. I mean, people can look up the story. It's a much longer story. But that press conference yesterday about Mueller's alleged sexual harassment crashed and burned yesterday. They couldn't prove their case.
That's terrific. I was just thinking if Hannity was going to run with that, because he's been critical of Mueller for no good reason for quite a while now. So I just was curious about that.
All right.
I'll definitely look it up.
Thanks, David. Thank you. Let's go to Mario in Tampa. Mario, you're on WMNF.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You're at the end of the show.
Yeah.
I'd like to get your take. You know, for those of us that consume a lot of cable news, all news networks, you know, when you hear the pundits, you hear the talking heads, you know, they give us analysis on what most of us who are savvy enough to understand it understand implicitly. What I'm thinking is, you know, it's well past time. This man has been dangerous, and he continues to ratchet up the rhetoric, and I'm talking about, of course, the president. Why aren't we hearing things from these pundits like, hey, guys, listen, I think we can all agree it's a dangerous situation. What are we going to do about it? When are we going to remove him from office? Are we waiting now for the Congress to flip? I mean, I just like your take on it, Rob. Do you feel the same? Because I find myself screaming at the television, okay, we get it. Why don't we get him out of here? Your take.
Well, if you're a Democrat and you want the president out, you've got to have some power. And Democrats have zero power in Congress right now, and certainly zero power in the administration. If they win the House or if they win the Senate, they'll have some power to conduct investigations and maybe investigate some of these things that the current Congress, which is Republican-controlled, hasn't investigated. So that's why you're not seeing people try to throw out the president. The Democrats want to throw the president out. All the Republicans want to keep him in. And so if you want to begin the process of throwing the president out, you've got to give Democrats some power. If you want to keep the president, then vote Republican. And I think a lot of our listeners are going to vote Republican. A lot of our listeners are going to vote Democrat. So that's what's going on, Mario. Thanks a lot. Thanks for your call. I start off the show asking people who they're going to vote for or what amendment they're going to vote for on Tuesday. I also asked our listeners whether or not you think that President Trump is making too big a deal about this caravan of refugees from Honduras and El Salvador. Let's go to Nancy in St. Pete. Hey, Nancy, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Oh, okay. Did you happen to catch Rachel Maddow the other night?
I did not.
She had the unclassified information from the Pentagon about what their take on the sending 15,000 troops to the border was.
And what did she say?
Okay. Well, they see zero threat. They see maybe 20% of, I think it was like maybe 5,000 making it there even, and which would make it 1,400 people, and that they were not armed, so they were not a threat. And the biggest threat that they could get was that the self-described patriots, border patriots, were the big threat, because they have been known to steal equipment from the National Guard. This was from the Pentagon.
So these self-appointed border patrols that are out there along the Arizona-Texas border, they may pose a danger because they're going to steal stuff.
Right.
Yeah. All right. All right, Nancy, thanks a lot. I did not see that report. Okay.
Take care.
All right. And 813 writes, make America great again. Vote against the most destructive administration in U.S. history. We can rebuild what the president has destroyed, writes Anonymous. All right. Thank you for that, Anonymous. Let's go to Carl in Dunedin. Hi, Carl. Tuesday or the border, your choice.
Hey, just two quick comments. They want to cut Social Security and Medicare because they've waged war for 25 years and they haven't funded it. They want to fund it by fund those wars and future wars by cutting the benefits of the poor and Social Security and the elderly. And then my other comment is, I hope every American understands how dangerous it is that we have a president that wants to use the U.S. military for a domestic issue. Let me tell you, that is scary. You know,
that's a violation of posse comitatus, which conservatives used to warn us about 10 years ago.
You know what? You wonder why all these people want guns and machine guns. They don't trust the government. When you got a president saying we're going to handle a domestic issue with the U.S. military, it's frightening. So
all right,
that's
Carl,
my only comment.
Carl, thanks a lot. And it's true. When every time that we increase something like military spending, we're borrowing money. During World War II, we actually let out bonds and we paid for World War II as much as we could as we went. We still had quite a debt after the war. But nowadays, with these record high military budgets, all that money's borrowed, all of it. So every time we go to war, we borrow more money to go to war. And then we scratch our heads afterwards and say, why is the country so deep in debt? Food stamps hardly cost the government anything. It's that F-22 that got destroyed in the hurricane. That costs a lot. Well, if you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. We'll play your comments back Monday morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for Daniel Ruth. He's coming up next on the Midpoint program. Thanks to Frank Knox. Have a great weekend.